from Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. Welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Inside Wentworth. I'm Caleb Cochran. My guest today is Alex Schwarzkopf, CEO of Pillar Technologies. Alex is a 2015 graduate of Wentworth's Electromechanical Engineering program. He founded Pillar with classmates Matt Joyle and Sean Iacoboni while they were all students at Wentworth.
So Alex, thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me.
And so I guess for those listeners who aren't familiar with Pillar Technologies, let's just start with the real basics and tell us, what is Pillar Technologies?
So Pillar Tech is a data company focused on construction site analytics. So we basically make scalable wireless sensor networks that we place all over construction sites. So upwards of 100 little sensor modules that get placed on an active job site. Those modules feedback data in real time to us, which we analyze. And we're actually able to identify high risk areas or damage that's occurring in real time. And then we're able to send notifications to the contractors that potentially can mitigate and even in some cases prevent the damage before it occurs.
So tell me a little bit about how those notifications work.
Yeah. So all of the data comes back to the cloud. Our app sits in the cloud. And we're basically looking for trigger points in that data.
Yeah.
And once we see a trigger point, we can send an automated notification down to the smartphone.
Yeah.
So you don't need an application. You don't need to download anything extra. You just need to give us your phone number, and you're good to go.
So for now, how much of it is being monitored by a human, and how much of it is sort of just automated? and how a little more on that, how that works,
sure.
Just for kind of the layperson here.
So right now in the company's development, it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I'd say more automated than human, but we notify the contractor and we immediately check in with them as to, was that notification valuable? Were we accurate in what we said it was? And that allows us to actually train the data that we're getting back and build the model to make it even more accurate moving forward.
So just to step back a little bit, tell me about, and I know this is because I read about this on your website, and I've seen you guys, I've talked to you guys before, but tell me specifically what is being monitored with
your
product.
So we monitor any environmental condition which you might at one point in the building's life cycle care about.
Yeah.
So we're looking at things like temperature, humidity, dust particulates, pressure, noise. We're working on vibration analytics. We also measure air quality.
Yeah. And so from the piece that I saw maybe close to a year ago now versus what you have now, the actual piece,
yeah.
The actual sensor, it's come a long way.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the sort of evolution of that.
About the journey. So we started out three guys in a dorm room at Wentworth. We built the first generation of technology with like $10,000 that we got from some generous benefactors through the Wentworth network. And we deployed on our first set of construction sites. And that technology was god-awful. It was hacked together. I remember Matt was sitting in his room with a soldering iron and a hot glue gun and literally sticking the boards together and like hot gluing them into the housings, and we got it done, right?
Yeah.
So we made about 50 of those units. It took forever, and God bless Matt. He was such a good sport about it because he put maybe 100 hours into making those things. But there were some technology challenges. So at the time we were using tripods to actually mount the devices in the space, which was not a good thing because the work zone is active, right? People are coming in and moving, and materials are being distributed throughout the space. And quite frankly, people just kick them over.
Yeah.
We were also using Wi-Fi, which is horrible for a construction site just in general.
Yeah.
Because there's no Ethernet, there's no existing infrastructure. So we actually had to bring our own Wi-Fi network to the job site, which was a nightmare. We'd have sensors go offline, and then someone would unplug the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So we kind of designed all of that out in the next generation. And so if you go to the website, you'll actually see the box itself.
Yeah.
The box is just, like I said, a means to an end, but it's designed with an intent, and that intent is modularity. So we have multiple mounting methods on the box.
Yeah.
So we have two magnets on the back. There's a slot in the back so you can actually put it on a 2x4, and then there's a strap built right in so you can wrap it around a pipe or the 2x4 I mentioned. And then finally, when the building's nearing occupancy, we have a strap that pops out of the back groove, and so you can hang it on a screw or a nail or something, and just to keep it up and out of the way and off the floor. That was really the intention.
So were those developments just from having conversations, or just sort of things you guys learned along the way yourself that you knew that you could, that you wanted to kind of put into place, or just curious because it is such a cool looking piece of a cool looking product now.
We're pretty proud that contractors have actually called it sexy, quote unquote. It was a combination.
Yeah.
So we learned through conversation about the challenges of the worksite and how other things were done. So, for example, they have hangers where all of the cords go and get hung, so they're not on the floor.
Yeah.
Up and out of the way was what they called it. So we kind of used that as a design intention, right?
Yeah.
And then we realized that there had to be multiple mounting methods in the box because not all worksites are the same. And so you have to understand or plan for the work environment,
sure.
Which is incredibly dynamic if you're in a wood frame building or you're in a hospital or you're in a high rise in New York City, for example.
Yeah.
So we had to be very thoughtful about it, and we actually worked with a design group to help us, and we're engineers, so I can't draw to save my life. But we took our concepts and we had them, you know, sketch it out with us and really iterate on the design, and we finally settled on the one that you see.
So, and how does production of those boxes work? Who's doing those for you guys?
So we contract manufacture that. Mm-hmm. It's being done in Haverhill right now.
Oh, nice.
A company called Lightspeed Manufacturing. They're pretty associated with Mass Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic group of people. Rich Brialt over there has been incredible. I can't speak more highly of that team. They have been so accommodating, especially because we're low volume right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're making a couple hundred a week, if that, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, when job sites come online. But we decided to keep it local because going overseas, there's always the risk that things don't get done properly.
Sure.
And you can't just go knock on the door of a Chinese manufacturing house, right?
Yeah.
So we can just drive up and see Rich and talk, and it's been a great experience.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about how your Wentworth connection sort of helped move this process along for you guys in terms of getting some testing done on the early side, I think, and then making some connections along the way that maybe got the product in front of some people and that sort of thing.
Sure. So the first part of this journey actually started when a friend in construction management came up to us, and he knew we were having some trouble with the concussion monitoring that we were doing before. And he goes, hey, why don't you guys put this on hard hats? And we said, oh, that's a great idea. Let's, you know, well, now we have to talk to some people because, you know, we had always gone to school with construction management guys, but we were still learning about some of the challenges on the job site. And so we ended up taking some meetings. We got connected with a group in Quincy called Delbrook Construction. And then we got connected with Gilbane. And Ryan Hutchins and Don Neighbor, if you're familiar with those folks, were two basically amazing champions for us and have been for the last year. But Ryan and Don really helped us turn the concept into reality. They gave us a shot.
Yeah.
Gilbane volunteered a job site for our first pilot with them way back in February of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how things got started. So, I mean, we were able to iterate from the work that we had done on that job in Winthrop and ultimately translate that into the product you saw today. So, technically, without the Wentworth connections, or at least that first step into the industry and connecting with the right people, we probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah, yeah. So, are you guys? Tell me where you are in the process. Like, are you still testing, or is it? It's ready to go. People can buy it now and use it. Where are you with that?
Right now, we're in pilot.
Yeah.
So we built the new tech. We've selected a couple general contracting partners.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're working very closely with them. And the reason we're doing this is because the technology is so new. And frankly, like when we go in and talk to a new general contractor, they're like, we have zero experience. You mean like the monitor that I have in my hand that measures this stuff, not, you know, a network of sensors, right, all over the job. It's a new concept. So
yeah.
we have to be very diligent about how we educate and the experience that these guys are having with our product. And so we're still learning a ton, right? And so I think we're on 4 job sites right now, active. Sean is in Florida right now, actually, deploying on another job site in Fort Lauderdale. And it's an amazing experience just to go and be on the job, get to meet the project staff, show them what's going on, walk them through the software, and see sort of their faces light up. They're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, we've never had this information before. So it is really rewarding, and we're hoping to translate that knowledge into a seamless experience that allows us to sort of drop ship the sensors to any job site and just have a contractor maybe watch a little video or get on the phone with us and be able to deploy the technology that way.
So some of the things that you guys are measuring for seems, you know, and this is me not being from this world or working in this industry, but some of the stuff seems to me like things that would have already been being measured by folks who are building buildings. So how much research did you guys do, or what kind of research did you guys do to determine if there were competitors out there already who were doing this kind of thing, or when did it kind of all come together that, hey, this is something that no one else is doing and there's really a market for it?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one clear like moment in time where we had the eureka moment, but the way it kind of worked was through about 8 conversations with local general contractors, we realized through them that there was a large lack of real-time information. Yeah. So when you walk around with a handheld meter, it's basically, you know, going to give you a point in time. And that's good if, you know, you're just sort of tracking for a baseline and you just need to be within a certain specification. But what we realized is at all points in the day for 24 hours, the temperature and the humidity, the noise levels, the dust particulate, it fluctuates very frequently. And that data will actually tell you things about the job site and what's going on, who's there, what, you know, what are they doing in that space. And we realized that that is insightful. We can turn that into a business insight or, you know, a process insight that these guys can use. They can help improve efficiency or mitigate damage. So I mentioned, you know, we're monitoring temperature, humidity, dust, those things. We're actually looking at how things like water leaks affect the environment, and we're able to alert based on that data set about those events as soon as they happen, rather than someone coming to the job site on a Monday after they went home on a Friday and being like, there's water everywhere, right? So in that way, we're trying to take the industry from a reactive mindset into more of a proactive mindset.
So just to step back a little bit, tell me a little bit more about that journey, if you will, or that pivot from your this started through Accelerate, right? The Innovation and Entrepreneurship Center here at Wentworth. So take me from that, where you were talking about earlier, the concussion monitoring system, to when did you kind of decide, hey, this isn't quite what we want to do?
So we started, as you mentioned, in concussions, and that was at Capstone. That was our senior design project. So at the time, Matt and Sean and I had been working together for like the last 4 years in class, out of class, and the concussions was trying to solve a meaningful problem. Like, people choose their senior design projects and a fancy way to boil water, right? Oh, great, you know, a new coffee maker, right? And we were like, oh, we want a really meaty problem, something with, you know, like with legs. So we went and we designed a solution, right? We built a solution, but what we didn't understand was the real-world case, right? It's like, so you have this device on people, and it's monitoring for these things. What happens if it misses an impact, right? What happens if the coach gets a notification but doesn't see it or doesn't take the kid out? And so it opened up what we now know as the wonderful world of liability. Whose fault is it, right? So, and we just didn't know how to tackle that. Absolutely no idea. It was a tremendous problem. And that was the perfect collision of real world and engineering, right? And they just didn't meet. And so what we had to do, and Accelerate helped us do this, and they gave us the initial capital to build the concussion monitors. With any company, if you don't want it to die, you have to figure out another way. So we thought, where can we use this technology? What resources do we have at hand? And that was kind of how we segued into the construction space.
Mm-hmm.
Just seemed like a natural fit given Wentworth's ties to construction and engineering and where they meet. A big piece when we started asking a lot of these questions was there's not a lot of technology, like physical technology, on the job site.
Yeah.
The cloud and project management software is getting very good. The risk mitigation software is getting very good. But in terms of technology, physical things that are smart on job sites, there's still a massive gap. And really what's interesting is the real-time data is extremely valuable because most of the time it's not observable with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first time, we're seeing things that have never been measured before that no one has paid attention to, that people didn't even or weren't even conscious was going on.
Yeah.
And that's pretty exciting. So in this case, the pivot worked out.
Yeah.
But Accelerate kind of gave us the optimism and the tools to be able to shift quickly and adapt to a new market and learn it.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't be here again if I hadn't had that early on exposure. I mean, everything, business plan, work practice, thinking critically about, you know, more than just the engineering problem.
Yeah.
Getting up in front of an investor and being told no, you know, like that's so important. We're currently fundraising right now, and I've been told no more times than I can count, right?
Yeah.
But it's that resilience that you need to build up, right?
Yeah.
The world is not going to just bend over and give its, you know, gifts willingly to you. So I think that's kind of how we journeyed outside and really got launched post college. But it definitely started at the accelerator.
Yeah.
At Accelerate.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've talked about Matt and Sean, so just introduce those guys. Tell me what their names,
their
full names and their titles and what they kind of do for you.
So Matt was a valedictorian of our class, wicked smart, as they say. He's just a good guy. He is able to look at problems and find creative solutions very quickly. It's almost savant-like, right? Matt taught himself how to design a PCB board in a month. Like, had zero idea how to do it, right? Sat, locked himself in a room for 20 hours and figured it out. And I was like, oh my God, I could never do that. And so he's the CTO. So he leads all technology development and execution. We wouldn't have a company without him.
Yeah.
I've said that so many times, but it's true because in a startup, if you miss one piece of the puzzle, you're screwed.
Sure.
And Sean's been a good friend of mine for quite some time. They both have. I mean, we've known each other for 6 years. I live with Sean now in New York, actually, and Matt and I live together in college. And Sean heads up product. So we realized early on there was a very close relationship between the product and the customer, and actually the user of the product, right? And so whereas my job is more high-level, day-to-day, Sean's really focused in translating customer feedback into product design. And then strategy, which ultimately he hands over to Matt, and Matt gets execute on.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, we sort of come full circle, right? Where, you know, I can sort of pull the strings, be like the puppet master for everything else, and do the back office work. And I consider myself to, like, you wear many hats. I'm a firefighter. I go where I need to go. I put out the fires.
Sure.
And kind of try to give those guys the focus to be able to execute on what really matters.
Yeah. So are you hiring right now, or what are you looking for down the road, or not even down the road, but, you know, in the near future? You must have already kind of identified some needs in terms of human resources, I'm guessing. So what's kind of next?
Definitely. So we're a team of five right now, up from three about last October.
Yeah.
So we brought on a few people. Next steps for us is closing this round that we currently have open, raising some additional capital, and then I plan to bring on a software lead and a firmware engineer, and then probably someone from the industry, so someone who has the acumen and the vocabulary that can go in and really help us understand even further, you know, what the product could be, or even potentially new products, and help us with sales. So I think that's, you know, probably the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that gets us.
I guess the last thing would just be kind of, and you touched on this a little bit, but how do you see the company growing? Like, if you were to take a,
2 years.
Look at a year or 2 years down the road and think about you know, some of the possibilities of where you see yourself and where you see you guys. I know it's probably, you're so focused on sort of the day to day at this point.
I have no idea where I see myself. A year ago, I was working at a bar. So, like, you know, you go from, like, barkeep to CEO.
Yeah.
It's quite comical, actually.
Talk a little bit about the move. So you guys moved from Boston to New York. So tell us a little bit about
that. So we joined, the reason for that move was we joined the TechStars program. For those listeners that don't know what TechStars is, it's basically a global accelerator network. And it's fairly prestigious. About 1% of applicants get into the program. And so we got accepted to the New York program. And the New York program was specifically focused around Internet of Things, or IoT as it's being called, which is what our technology falls under.
Yeah.
And we felt that we were good engineers, we were good designers, but we didn't have our business chops. And, you know, you can have the best product in the world, but if you can't sell it and you don't have the network or the connections to the industry or to investors or whoever, you're not going to succeed. It's just sort of the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
And we realized that pretty early on in the journey and felt that TechStars was the best way to really accelerate that, no pun intended, that growth. In a way that we might not have had another opportunity to do.
Yeah.
And for us, it proved to be incredibly valuable. For me personally, it kind of got me out of this, like, I guess, engineering mode where I, you know, was focused on small problems and, you know, made me think about the big picture and really how to value people and time and money rather than sort of features. For the guys I know, and I can't speak for them, but I can just see, you know, the sort of the transformation. But, I mean, Sean has gone from day and night and being able to articulate himself, really listen and ask intuitive and insightful questions to the customers in a way that we were never really taught to do. And I think Matt has had a just tremendous amount of pressure on him because, you know, when we were in TechStars as a business accelerator, but we were still running a tech company. And so Matt had to take over a lot of the responsibility, and he performed admirably. I mean, I can't speak more highly of that point in time because it was a moment we all had to work together. Like, we were all there, and if one of us messed up or, you know, dropped the ball, we all dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So that was why we moved to New York, and it was probably one of the best decisions we'd ever made, quite frankly, and we chose to stay there.
Yeah.
So we're now based in New York City. TechStars has allowed us to grow our network. They're very, very fast, and I mean, it's another step in the journey, I suppose.
Yeah. So last thing, I saw a video, I think it was TechCrunch, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
TechCrunch. Where you guys presented.
Yep.
And one of the questions that came out of that was somebody asked you if you had if you had talked to any insurance companies, because insurance companies might be interested in exactly this kind of a product. So speak to that a little bit.
Yes. So with every good business, I would advise people to follow the money. And the money tells you a lot of things. So when things go wrong in construction, the biggest losses happen to the insurance company, right? Because that's what they do. They, just like car insurance. We didn't really understand insurance very well when we got started.
Yeah.
And over the last 6 months, we've had to really dive deep into insurance. And we've realized that there's really a unique and probably valuable relationship between the insurance company and the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of sit, imagine us in the middle,
yeah,
where we're trying to help mitigate those really large water leak losses, fire outbreaks, things like that, because that drives the margins down for the insurance company, ruins profitability, right?
Yeah.
And that's not good. And on the contractor side, you have the delay in schedule. You have your rates go up, right? If you have a certain type of insurance, you could have an increased, what they call, insurance multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece is there's a lot of costs that aren't covered. And so in the industry, those are called soft costs. And soft costs is basically everything like, I don't know, reallocation of labor, overtime, right? Mm-hmm. Expediting material that, you know, got destroyed, that wasn't scheduled to be delivered. And these, I mean, typically speaking, it's I guess accepted that a loss, you know, say we have a $5 million loss on a job site, the soft cost is roughly about the same. So the total cost of loss is 2x. But the insurance company only covers that hard cost, getting it back to where it was before the loss. And so that's where we want to help the contractor as well. And I mean, you guys know, and I would hope we know as a Wentworth community, construction's a really competitive market. Margins are really thin. And so if you can help move the needle for the contractor as well in terms of performance of that project, it's going to make a difference.
That's great. So Alex, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming in and taking the time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.